Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begovernment.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Playle and I have Tom Siegel as my companion for today's show. Unlikely circumstances, I think maybe Storm Dennis has washed out Paul Binfield. Not sure where he's got to, but we're going to crack on with the review nevertheless. Storm Dennis, I've mentioned him. He didn't interfere too much with Saturday's racing at Ascot and Haydock. We did get to see some really top-class performances, and we're going to go through them now. As always, looking ahead to the Cheltenham Festival, and even Aintree with Tiger Roll reappearing yesterday as well. So stay tuned throughout the show, and we'll get to some of your questions a bit later on as well. First up then, Ascot and Sporting John. He advertised his Ballymore claims, beating Master Debonair, Pipe Smoker and Torn and Frayed in the opener. Tom, I thought this was a really, really nice performance. What did you think?
It's nice and cosy, this, Maddie, isn't it? No one else to annoy us.
I know.
It's nice, isn't it? I liked him. He's a really good horse, isn't he? I mean, my guess is that they'll go for the Ballymore with him. I like the fact, just the way he does things, isn't it? He's just smooth. Yeah. He hits the line hard. He just looks really good. Of course, it was a four-runner race, but I think it was a pretty good four-runner race, wasn't it? Pipe Smoker had run behind Chantry House. Mr. Master Debonair had won a decent race from the front there before. Whether he got home over on the trip and the ground, I don't think really on Saturday. But what's not to like? He's unbeaten. He's beaten some good horses there. He'll go, I presume, to the Ballymore with a chance, definitely. I mean, we've been on here many times talking about is Envoy Allen a bank and whatever. You know, horses like this are very good. Who says, you know, how do we know that he's not that level? We don't. He could easily be the same level as Envoy Allen. So, yeah, I like him. I think he's got a good chance.
Yeah, I think at this stage, he's the one for me, actually. I think a lot of the horses, Chantry House, you mentioned, all the form intertwines with these Brits. And he'd come out on top for me. He's already beaten Harry Senior, of course, another very good horse who could well go for the Albert Bartlett. Seeing as you're our step in Paul Binfield today, what price did Paddy Power go?
I think they're 7-1. Obviously, Paddy Power, a non-runner, no bet on all races now. So you can back him in the Ballymore, I think, at 7-1. Free in the knowledge that if he goes the other way, you know, I think as he's second favourite now in their book. Oh no, behind Asterion Frelonge, but I think he'll go for the Supreme. So he's probably the most likely runner that challenger that Powers are saying at the moment to Envoy Allen. And I think he's a cracking each way bet around 7-1. Really, I mean, I do think some horses will be scared off by Envoy Allen. There's vibes that the big. I get them wrong. I'm going to get the wrong one.
The Irish
Colin
or
Tizard.
English.
Colin the big Tizard's breakaway. the big one of the big ones that's trained by Colin Tizard. Let's talk about him going for the Albert Bartlett. So he might go. Time Hill might not go. Asterion Frelonge might not go. Chantry House might, you know, they'll split them up. And Fiddler on the Roof, he might run, I suppose. It all depends how Colin Tizard wants to do it. So it might be that the opposition is thin on the ground. And if that is the case and Sporting John lines up at 7-1, non-runner, no bet, I think he's just a bet to nothing.
I was having a flick through this morning. I think this year's novice hurdlers are so exciting. And Sporting John, for me, looks a horse for the future as well. He's got a bit of size about him. As the cliche goes, you think he'd make a chaser, but we're not going to concentrate on that for now. Let's move on then to a good old favourite of yours, Tom, Copperhead.
Oh, Maddie. Copperhead, my favourite. My favourite horse in training. What a fantastic horse he is. I just love the way he does everything. Absolute quicksilver jumper, never travels like a dream, pricks his ears every time he's in front.
Finds
plenty, stays really well, any trip you like. I just think in terms of form, he's done the most, and it's not even close, of any 3-mile chaser so far this year. Over 3 miles. I mean, obviously, I think he's done more than Champ, probably. The Champ might have done more if he hadn't fallen, but we don't know.
Okay.
So he's definitely done more than Minella Rindo, hasn't he? He's definitely done more than Alaho. And they're all the ones people are talking about for the RSA. I think he's got a cracking chance if he runs in the race. I think he's six. He's won four of his last five or whatever it is by absolute distances. I just think he's a really, really top horse. And, if there's any giving the ground, and I don't think he desperately needs giving the ground anyway. He wasn't that soft when he won at Wincanton. I think he'll win the RSA if they run him there. I really do. I think he's really top class.
Well, this is interesting because he was obviously not a great hurdler. And we've spoken on this show before about how Notebook and Henry de Boronhead tends to produce quite a lot of not bad, but okay hurdlers and who improve a lot for a fence. I mean, why is that? What's happened with Copperhead that's seen this improvement?
Well, to start with, he's only six. He was five when he was winning the Mandarin and he's winning the Wing Canton. Remember when he won the Wing Canton, age five, he beat Finger on the Switch by...
Which is good form.
Finger on the Switch went and won at Canton by 10 lengths, beating a good field, and then he was second, just touched off. Probably should have won. He was a bit unlucky at the last, didn't he? Fluffed his lines at the last in the Sky Bet chase. OK Corral was in there. He'd gone up, what, £15 after he'd been beaten by... I think it's about £15 or something higher now than when Copperhead beat him. I just think his form's really good. But the point is, he didn't have any chances over hurdles. You know, he's just a young horse. He ran in three bumpers, you know, and then he ran in a few hurdles, and then he won his last two by miles, staying really strongly at Sandown. I know it wasn't good form. He was only rated 116, but he's a young horse, and he's just totally brilliant jumper. I just love him. I think he's just the type of horse I like. I might be wrong. He might not be good enough to win an RSA. These horses might be better than him, but I think he's going to be a Gold Cup horse of the future without a shadow of a doubt. And if that's the case, you've got to run in the RSA. You've got to give him a shot. I think you give him a big chance.
Wow. What an advertisement then for Copperhead. What price do paddies go?
Oh, good question. 7-1 non-runner, no bet is for the RSA. Would you like me to check out while I'm here what price he is for the other one?
The National Hunt Chase.
Because yep. I think there'll be lots of people saying that's the race he should go for. That would be the antithesis of what I believe in if he went there. He's 8-1 for that one. To start with, he's got Carefully Selected and Champagne Classic in there to run against. It's no guarantee on form, I think they're as good as the ones in the RSA. And secondly, you win a grade two at Ascot by 17 lengths and you go for another grade two. It doesn't make sense to me. You go for the best race. The best race is the RSA.
Would you say sevens is still a pretty generous price?
I think so. Paddy Power of 5-1 for the National Hunt Chase Copperhead. Tells you there's not that much diversity in price, is there? Even though one race is supposed to be much better than the other. Mm. I think 7-1's an excellent price. Yeah, I really do.
Okay, we're going to talk a bit about the Grand National because various horses advertise their claims for the race. But before we do, the feature on Saturday at Ascot was the Ascot Chase. A lot of people anticipating his surname would be back with a bang. Sadly, he came down at the last as well as Traffic Fluid. Both got up, which is the main takeout. Excellent news. Wonderful to see. Riders on the Storm was left to come home in front. But it was a bizarre race, wasn't it, Tom? What did you make of it?
There's two ways of looking at everything. But I thought Riders on the Storm was actually pretty good because he served it up. Now, I don't think Surname was anything like the Surname we saw at the start of the season. And I think Paul Nicholls intimated that much afterwards.
Do you think, why? Is it a breathing thing?
No idea.
Just dip in form?
Yeah, no idea. Horses go in and out of form, don't they? They have peaks and troughs. He's never been the most consistent horse anyway, has he? Yeah. I mean, he's got he hasn't won that as many races as he should have for the top rated chaser. So look, everything, he just wasn't the same there. However, Riders on the Storm served it up to him, didn't he? From a long way out. I don't know. The time wasn't very good. It was a pretty slow time.
Would Traffic Fluid won?
I think he would have, yeah. I think he would have won. But whether that's...
Would you be looking at that and going, well, that's not great form there?
Yeah, of course, you would say that is not the form of a Ryanair winner, but also you've got to remember the way the race was set up for Traffic Fluid.
Yeah,
you know, he just wasn't in the race, was he, until they all fell in a hole turning for home. So there's two ways of looking at it. Personally, I think he would have probably had two, you know, he was literally legless at the line, wasn't he? I thought he was running on fumes at the end, rider on Summer Storm. Do I think he can come back and produce that level of form again at a track he's never run out on going a different way? Well, he has run it. He fell there, didn't he, in the handicap last year. I'd be against him now. I was sort of half on his side before the race, but I just think at around, I think he's 7-1 now with Powers non-runner, no bet. I think, you know, if Aplutard, Min and Frodon run, I think they've got better chances than him.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. It's a silly thing to say about a horse who's won a grade one, but I was more keen on him before the race, and I think it was quite a hard race as well.
I'd agree. But look, we can get these things wrong a lot, don't they? I mean, some trainers say horses don't recover from hard races for years. I mean, look at Native River. That's what Colin Tizar saying. It took him a year to overcome it, his hard race behind Might Bite. Might Bite probably never overcome his hard race. Horses, it does take a lot out of them.
Look at Frodon, though.
Yeah, but there's loads that come back fighting, don't there? There's loads that relish it and come on for it.
Mm.
I don't know which one he is. To me, he's a bit too keen to think that he's going to just keep coming back for
yeah.
more.
Yeah, I understand what I mean? That. Yeah, exactly. Let's move on then. I want to talk about Nordano next. The four-year-old, he gave a boost to the likes of All Mankind and Goshen in absolutely obliterating a handicap. I sort of thought maybe the others, they weren't really that interesting perhaps beforehand, and the sort of fact that he's won maybe makes me want to treat it with a little bit of caution.
Possible, yeah, very possible. I mean, it wasn't a, you know, there were a lot of old boys in there,
yeah,
weren't there? Eden De Hoo pulled a bit hard, staggered. He stayed on again for third. I thought he was going to finish last. I thought he was going to be pulled up. You know, he was just a bit too keen to begin with. Malaya is sort of out of form, coming back to form. She might be interesting for the Imperial Cup again. Now she's back on the same sort of mark. I thought she sort of ran.
She ran with encouragement.
Yeah, but I didn't like the con man before the race. I thought he was over. You know, he was. The handicapper didn't give, and a lot of the others were old boys, weren't they? Jolly's cracked it, and Air Horse One, Garrow de Juillet. They've sort of been around for a bit. So, like you, I'm a little bit sceptical of the form, but he did win by 16 lengths, didn't he?
Mm.
And
it was a bit not so sleepy like for me when he
possible.
Won that big race.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible that we could all get over. You know, he got out in front and jumped well, and yeah, it was. I think that's a good analogy, but. Who knows how he'll end up? But as you say, the point is the boost he gave to Goshen, because he couldn't get anywhere near him, could he, last time? And I know people are worried about his jumping, but I don't think Gary Moore's worried about it. And I think if you watch the Ascot race when he had that horse upside him last time, he jumped okay. He wasn't jumping all over the place. I think they've just been a bit safe with him.
Do you think he'll be better when he's in a more competitive race and he's got other horses around him late on?
Well, I think he'll have All Mankind to do. He'll be out front, won't he? And, you know... And I think he'll jump. The horses, they tend to do what they... You know, I just think Jamie Moore's been safe on him. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
If you look closely at when he's becoming to the last, Jamie's sort of riding him that way. He's being safe to get him over them because he's got the rates. I think when it comes to the Triumph, I think he'll be fine.
And he's
your
selection at this stage?
Listen, I've got to do that this week. Listen, you see, that sounded like Aidan O'Brien. I've got to do that this week. I'm doing an anti-post thing on that. Whether I think Goshen's probably the most likely winner, but whether he actually is my selection at 4-1, you know, 4 weeks before the race, it's probably unlikely because, you know, you can back.
And when will we see that in the paper, just for viewers and listeners?
I think that's on Wednesday's paper. I think I'm doing it tomorrow for Wednesday, yeah. So
wonderful.
So we'll have a look at that on Wednesday. But whether I go for him at 4-1 when you've got 3 weeks before the race is probably get 7-2, 4-1 on the day, won't you? So.
Okay, we're going to get to Tiger Roll later on, but Ballyoptic was an impressive winner at Ascot. Smooth Stepper at Haydock sort of brings himself into this equation, having won the Grand National Trial at Haydock as well. So let's talk about them as a pair. Would either of them be entertaining you for the Grand National?
I don't think Smooth Stepper's got a prayer of getting in, is he?
Mm,
I don't know. Is he even entered? I don't know. But he's got.
I think they want to go for the Midlands Grand National with him, they said.
Yeah, I can't see he'll got any chance of getting in off 133. You remember, he doesn't get a penalty for it for any of winning.
That's
that.
True.
So he's got no chance of getting it. Ballyoptic is my nemesis because I backed him last year at a huge price, and I actually thought he was going really well. He jumped. Think about the Grand National these days. If you get over the first few, the fences get, you know, they because the top is all spruce, they knock them down. They're tiny by the time they get the second round. They get to the second circuit. So once you're over the first few, not many horses fall on the second circuit. Ballyoptic did. That was what was annoying last year. He fell at the fourth last. He was about eighth and ninth or ninth, and he was, you know, the impression many got was that he was going backwards. I didn't think so. I thought he was, you know, he's a very strong stayer. We saw that when he was punched off in the Scottish National. I thought he would have run on. I thought he'd have been third or fourth last year. I think the only difference is, he, you know, because of his good early season form, he's going to be higher in the weights this year. Do I fancy him to win it, given his jumping? Probably not, but I think he can run well.
Moving on, I wasn't too sure whether we were going to cover this horse in that much detail, Tom, but you like him an awful lot. So tell us why. It's the Psycho who won the Victor Ludorum up at Haydock.
Yeah, he's interesting, isn't he? Paul Nichols is an amazing trainer. He's Zoffany out of a Mark of Esteem mare. You wouldn't expect him to be any sort of stayer over hurdles, but he's an amazing trainer and just looks like he's getting better and better. The bigger the test of stamina he has, he was really strong at the finish at Exeter. He was really strong again at Haydock there. Is he a Triumph Hurdle horse? I think he's worth a shot. He's a shot. I think, I mean, this year, I think, you know, sometimes we go into the Triumph Hurdle thinking there's only one or two horses. I think you've got four horses in there that have done more than most horses have before they go into Triumph Hurdle. You've got Aspire Tower, you've got Goshen, and you've got All Mankind, who've all looked really good in their races, haven't they? I mean, Aspire Tower was a bit disappointing last time, but I think you can throw Sir Psycho in there. I mean, I've, in a normal year, I'd expect him to finish in the frame. Last year, I would have been quite keen on him, Pentland Hills year. Now, I didn't know how good Pentland Hills was at the time, but now, you know, if he was running in the Cheltenham, in the Triumph Hurdle, last year's Triumph Hurdle, I'd be quite keen on him. This year, given the good nature of the horses in it, I think he's, whether he runs or not, I don't know, but I think he's good. He jumps really well, doesn't he? And he stays really well, and, you know, when you've a horse like that for Paul Nicholson, go a long way.
Yeah, indeed. We're going to go and talk about Navin yesterday now. Tiger Roll made his reappearance in the Boyne Hurdle, won by stablemate Cracking Smart. Obviously, a lot of people in racing very happy to see the dual Grand National winner back. As reappearances go, Tom, I was very, very impressed with this. A couple of us did a quick reaction, a bit of a jury to it afterwards, and I was one of the more positive ones, saying that I think I would have been delighted if I was Gordon Elliott with Tiger Roll's fifth. It was a bit of a messy race. I thought he showed all the enthusiasm he needed to. He travelled really well, and then he just got a bit tired. What did you make of it?
Exactly the same, Maddie. I thought he did what I don't know what anyone was expecting. I mean, he'd said it before the race, that this is what was going to happen, and this is exactly what did happen. You know, it wasn't the best he's ever been. You know, if you look at Racing Post ratings, it's one of his worst performances since for a couple of years in terms of the ratings. But in terms of the way he went through the race, I thought he was absolutely fine. And we all know he's had an injury. We all know he's, you know, he's going to improve fitness. The one thing he would say is, if it's only 3 weeks to the cross country chase, so it's not like he came there straight out of a field. He would have done plenty of work.
Of January, I said they got him back cantering.
Yeah, well, it's, what's that? 7 weeks.
Yeah,
it's plenty of time to, you know, get a lot of work into him. Now, look, he's going to improve a lot. Of course he is, and he'll probably win the cross country chase again. But I thought it was absolutely fine. It was, to be honest, it was what I was expecting.
Yeah.
That's how I thought he'd run.
Yeah. And me. And talking about the Grand National as a wider picture, now, you know me, and I'm always keen to take on these horses that get hyped up in the sort of racing mill and that. But I'm beginning to come around to the fact that I think Tiger Roll is probably just exceptional at this particular discipline. And I think he's going to be quite hard to beat, you know.
You've just worked out that Tiger Roll's good at Aintree, Maddie. Well done.
I'm very late to the party. No, but I think the Grand, what I mean is, I think the Grand National is a very different race now. And whereas back in the day with the handicap, and I just think he's a very good horse. And I think there are good horses in the race who he's going to have to give them weight. But I don't think that's going to be a really, really hard task. I don't know. Do you think I'm talking rubbish?
No, he's got a massive chance, isn't he? He should be favourite. He has every right to be favourite. He's an absolute magic horse, isn't he? Done things that no other horse in recent history has done. Why can't he win another race? Why can't he win it again? I don't know. I can't see any reason why he can't. He's up. What is he up? £10 on last year? I think he would have won with £10 more last year. No problem. Now, whether it's a better race and whether he'll get the luck, who knows?
Yeah.
Because it's about time something didn't, you know, think something didn't go his way. But he's won so many big races. You know, what was it? How many times has he won at the Cheltenham Festival? Four?
Yeah.
Four Cheltenham Festival, two Grand Nationals. It's not a bad CV, that. You just can't rule him out in any race he runs in. Would I back him at 5-1? Of course I wouldn't, because that's just me. That's just me. I'll always be looking for something else.
I wouldn't back him, but I think he might be able to win.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I think. Would I, you know, on the day, will I want to win? It'll be Tiger Roll, that's for sure.
Okay. That nicely concludes this segment of the podcast then. We'll be back in just a moment to look ahead to the weekend, and hopefully we're going to find some winners for you.
So does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast then, and we have a cracking card coming up at Kempton this weekend. We've got three Grade 2s which we're going to talk about now, and these races have produced Cheltenham Festival winners in the past, so very much informative late clues for the big festival. The first one we're going to talk about is the Skybet Dovecot Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2, and some nice horses entered in here, Tom. I know you're a big fan of Buzz, and a promising word for West Cork as well.
Yeah, look, this race doesn't quite look as good as it has in the past, but Buzz is unbeaten. He's a good flat horse. Won that big handicap at Newbury at the back end of a couple of seasons ago. He's rated nearly 198, I think he was rated. West Cork I like too. Yeah, I think he's getting better all the time. I mean, not sure this race has ever been the greatest Cheltenham trial. I'm not, you know, we've had really good winners. Global Citizen, Irving, if my memory remembers, Sada Grugy might have won this race. Never been the greatest Cheltenham trials. Gets a bit close. There's an interesting horse, Paul Nichols, in there. A four-year-old filly from France, Nanabelle, that he's just got. Don't know if she'll run in this or the juvenile
Nicky
race.
Nicky Henderson.
Nicky Henderson, sorry, yeah. Or the juvenile race. But it's an interesting race. I'm a Buzz fan, but I'm not sure he'll run, whether he, you know, we're a long way off. You've got to mention Benson. Remember Benson the other day in the Contenders trial at Sandown, the two-mile trial. He sort of came from last, and it was a bit like... Horse we were talking about earlier, Traffic Fluid, wasn't he? He sat out the back and sort of was not put into the race until late on, and he came and ran out, didn't he? Two or three out, did he, in the race won by Keldestan and Call Me Lord? Well, that's very good form. I mean, I think if you look at Racing Post ratings, he might actually be top in that race, Benson, and it'll probably be a big price. But Highway 1102, you know about that.
Yes.
Tell me about him, Matt. I don't know much about him. What's he done?
Yeah, so he went into my tracker after he ran in a bumper at Ascot. Wasn't given an awful lot to do, but came into the race really nicely. And then he's won two novice hurdles without breaking sweat. Chris Gordon trains him. And I think he's one of those who could go under the radar because he's not quite got the connections that a lot of people like to see. But obviously they've got Highway 101 in the same colours. This is Highway 102. I just really like the way he's been going about his horse.
You've reminded me of him. He's quite keen, isn't he? And he makes all, doesn't he? I saw him last time at Plumpton. I thought he was really impressive. He's a good jumper, isn't he?
When he gets,
he'd be interesting round there. He'd like it round Kempton from the front. I think it's a good front runner's track.
Okay. Right, let's move on to the 8-8 Sport. Take him on Adonis Juvenile Hurdle, another Grade 2 over 2 miles. We're going backwards, of course, so the Adonis happens before the Dovecot. Blame me for that. And some really interesting entries in this as well. Fujimoto Flyer is 2 out of 2. Emmett Mullins trains. You spoke about Nanabelle, who's in here as well. Solo has a big reputation for Paul Nichols, and he's been a market mover today, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, going back a bit, Soldatino and Zarkander both won this race before winning the Triumph. That's only less than 10 years ago. That's 2010-2011. You know, Zubair won it. Fusil Raffles won it last year. It can be a good trial for the Triumph Hurdle. This is a sort of the day when horses some sort of that haven't been
last chance.
Yeah, exactly. Solo's very interesting. As we've mentioned, that horse Nanabelle come from France. Fujimoto Friar. I noticed that. They've sold that to Isaac Swed and Simon Munir. He looks like he's coming over to put her Triumph credentials on the line. It looks like a really good race. Don't be surprised if the Triumph Hurdle market gets a new sort of player after this race. I'm quite interested in Fujimoto Flyer. She looked good when she won a graded race in France last time. The fact that the boys have bought him suggests that, and they'd be quite sweet on the form. It's a listed mare's race, actually. They'd be quite sweet on the French form, so they'd know where she stands in that sort of pecking order. In fact, she's coming over to run here when they've won it with Fusil Raffles and Soldatino recently. Suggests that they think she might end up in the Triumph.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I was asking around whether she was going to run in the Triumph. I don't think anyone had heard a lot, but promising she's entered in here, she'd be the one for me as well. We're going to talk about the Pendle then. Another good race. I think Surname, who we mentioned earlier on in the show, has won it in the past. We've got Comanche Red in here, Master Tommy Tucker, Who Dares Wins. Eric LaRouge, he's entered as well as the big handicap, which I think he's short in the betting for. Comanche Red is a horse I like. What did you think about him? Was very impressive at Boxing Day.
Excellent, wasn't he? He was really, really good. Very well backed. It was a big step up, I thought.
Form's good with Simply the Bets coming out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Simply the Bets didn't like the track, I didn't think. But On the Slopes was there. Yep. Or On the Slopes stayed, I don't know. But if you can go through the form, it's really strong, isn't it? Because Simply Bets on the stroke. So he's clearly worth a chance in graded races. One thing you got to say is, a long time ago, this used to be Racing Post-sponsored day. We used to have the Racing Post chase, the big race, big handicap. Used to be, and Paul Nicholls used to clean up. I think he's won six. He used to always go there and back Paul Nicholls as in the Pendle. I think he's won six of the last 10 or something.
Yes.
He's got a magnificent record. Mr. Tommy Tucker, looks like being his horse. I don't know if Grand Sancy, one of them will turn up. And they would be the ones that I would think you would have to beat, because Mr. Tommy Tucker was really good when he ran round here, beating Who Dares Wins on his debut. He then fell in the Porto Star, didn't he?
Too far out, whether you could have said whether he'd won or not.
Yeah, I personally thought he was getting tired. And he didn't jump as well that day as he had at the same track the time before. I think 2.5 miles would be perfect for him, actually. And at the moment, I think he'll probably end up being favourite because he's a bit of a high-profile horse, but he would be the one I would be looking at the moment. But I do agree that Comanche Red might be the sort of, I like these handicappers going up in integrated races. I like the fact that he's had a bit of competition against Simply the Bets, and he's had to jump under pressure in fast run races. It's a bit totally different kettle of fish than running around in 4 or 5 runner races like Mr. Tommy Tucker has. So I agree with you. And Eric LaRouge, who's a bit of a course specialist, if he comes here rather than goes to the handicap, he'd be exactly the same.
Okay.
Got that bit of experience about them that I like.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sounds like I need to get my Chris Gordon multiple on there.
He does, yeah.
If I'm fancying those. A change of tact. Obviously, I mentioned the 8-8 Sports sponsored handicap chase. I'll be back on Friday and we're going to cover that then in lots more detail. But we're going to go across to Lingfield now that staged the Winter Derby. So if all weather is your cup of tea, you'll be wanting to tune into this. And Bangkok, Dubai Warrior, Global Giant, just a couple of the names here. Tom, this race has become sort of a higher profile race, hasn't it, in recent years? It's become a race that John Gosden, for one, likes to aim horses at.
Very much so. I mean, and quite rightly so. I mean, I wouldn't be by any means the biggest all-weather fan the world's ever seen. In fact, I'm probably the least enthusiastic all-weather follower in the country. It's not my cup of tea at all, but I do like the Winter Derby. How can you not? You get good horses running. Bangkok was incredibly impressive the other day, wasn't he? I think he broke the track record when winning. And that was supposed to be his warm-up race for this. Beat John Gosden's Courthouse easily in a very good time. He's clearly the one to beat. Sylvester D'Souza's back to ride him, I'm told. The only thing you'd say, he ran very hard after a break last time, and then he's got to come back and do it again. And, it'll be a different kettle of fish, different race. I think Dubai Warrior with Frankie up is going to be the biggest danger. I mean, I think the prices at the moment, I think Bangkok's odds on and Dubai Warrior's around 2-1 or something like that, or on a similar sort of price to that. I think he's the big danger, and I don't think there's much else in it really. So it's between those two. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I think those two horses are proper good horses, and they will be good horses in the summer as well.
Yeah, nice spectacle, and maybe they could be contesting grade ones later on in the year. Group ones, of course. We will wait and see. Now, Newcastle, hopefully they'll get the go-ahead to stage the Vertem Ida Handicap Chase, but if it's taking place in conditions like we've seen recently, it's going to be a real slog. I may as well just go through the odds while I have them in front of me. Paddy Power go 11-2 very first time, 6-1 Petite Power, 7-1 Calypso, Colonges and Hugo and Taz. Then over to Sam and Prime Venture at 8-1, and it's 10-1 bar. Tom, have you had any sort of look at this race yet?
Oh, blimey, this will be a long old slog, this, won't it, Maddie? I mean, I've seen a few of these where only one or two finish. It's going to be all about getting home, isn't it? I mean, I thought that Petite Power ran a... He's getting on a bit, but I thought he showed... He's got so much stamina. Do you remember in the Warwick race last time behind Kimberlite Candy? Looked like he was winning miles behind. He was miles behind turning for home and he ran on to be third. I think it will suit him. It's a tough race, this. People always say that when you get these sort of long staying chases, you need a horse with a low weight, but that's just not the case in this race. It never has been. I think nearly all the horses, bar one, have carried, well, actually, that's a lie, Rocking Blues for the Dobbins one off 9 stone 12. But nearly all the other horses, a good majority of them have been carrying 11 stone or more. So class can play a part in these races. The problem is, I don't think there's that many classy horses in it. Killer Miller's top weight at the moment. Prime Venture never wins. Over to Sam for Harry Fry. Is quite an interesting horse. He's been off and then he came back and he'll stay well. I'm not sure Thalingi will stay. So it's a really, really tricky race. It'll literally be about who gets home. At this stage, I'd be looking at Calypso Collange for Ollie Murphy because I think he's a real strong stare. He's got form around Haydock and he just similar sort of plodding on type effort will be needed. And he'd be top of my shortlist. But, you know, I'm waiting to see what conditions are. If it's heavy, God blimey, it'll take some getting.
It will. If I was to have to nail my colours to the mast, I think I'd be boring and go with the favourite very first time. I do think he's still well handicapped, but maybe you do want a bit more of a sort of hard-knocking, experienced horse like Petite Power, who's been trying his hand in these races. We will take a quick break now, but I have some questions lined up, so don't go anywhere.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this postcast. It's just been myself and Tom Siegel today, but we've been going through all of the analysis from the weekend and looking forward to Kempton as well on Saturday. Now it's time to answer your questions. First off is Darren Jordan. He says, can anyone beat Appreciate It in the bumper? I think he's the banker of the festival. Tom, I know you're not particularly keen on the bumper, but I think I'd be inclined to agree with Darren. Appreciate It looks very strong. And Bally Adam didn't do anything. He was 6-1 for the race before he'd even run under rules yesterday.
You're spot on about me not knowing anything about the bumper. Of the ones we've seen, Appreciate It is clearly miles the best on what we've seen. Can something beat him? I always think that any horse at Cheltenham is beatable because they haven't quite done it yet. But do you know what I mean? It's a totally different kettle of fish to what they've ever done. I'm a bit of a fan of Fernie Hollow, who is another Mullins horse that owned by Cheveley Park that's been pulling a bit hard. I think if in a properly run, strongly run race, he might be a little bit better, but I don't think they're going to be Appreciate It and what I've seen so far. So yes, I think you might be right, but don't quote me on that because I know nothing about it really.
Okay, I like him. I think the fact he stays further, he's won over 2 mile 4, I think that's going to stand him in good stead. He's trained by Willie Mullins. It's boring and we don't like ourselves for it, but yes, Darren, I think I'd probably agree with you. Wendy Glaze, hello Wendy. She says, what are your thoughts on multiple bets at Cheltenham, Tom? Do people just do it at this time of year because pundits are asked, or is it something you'd actually consider?
I don't personally do them, Wendy, but I don't think they're a bad idea at all. It's just nothing. It's just something that I've never got into. Personally, I think the more chances you give to knock the ball out of the park, the better it is. You know, you fiddle around backing, you know, having whatever your bet is, that you might as well try and knock one out of the park, you know. And if you think, and I think at Cheltenham, you do have a good chance. I know loads of people that have found tricasts and lucky 15s and things like that at Cheltenham. Because
what would your recommendation be to how you approach it? Would you chuck a load of short price favourites in there on the Tuesday?
No, just back the ones you fancy. I think pricing, listen, it's tricky because if you love Envoy Allen, you can throw him in. But for me, I would just back the ones I fancy and I wouldn't change whatever. I wouldn't change my strategy just for a lucky 15. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Wouldn't suddenly say, well, I'll throw in a safe one for that or whatever. I want to back the ones I think are going to win.
Okay, but you wouldn't be against them. I mean, it's interesting. No. I was looking at a story this morning, Nicky Henderson in 2012 when he had all those winners. Do you remember Conor Murphy? He had a multiple and he won a million on Sprinter, Sacra, Riverside, Theatre, Bobsworth, all of them.
And now he's training horses, isn't he? Gave it up and he's now in America training horses. See, this is what I was meaning, really. If you got a chance to, you know, Cheltenham is a good chance to smash one out of the park and change your life. That's basically what happened. You know, pay off your mortgage or do or buy a house, whatever. And I think I wouldn't put anyone off it, obviously, within reason. Obviously, that's the one thing you got to remember with all bets. Mm. You can't afford to do more than you can lose. So, you know, a pound lucky 15, it's not going to kill any. It's not going to be the end of the world, is it? And so if that's what you did, I have no qualms with it. As I say, Cheltenham is a good chance. It's the one chance you have all season of finding big price winners, I think, in good races.
Okay, so Wendy, our advice is gamble responsibly as per usual, but yes, go for it. John simply says, where does Chris's dream go? And this gives us an opportunity to talk about him, Tom.
Yeah, I like him. He was really good the other day and he was really good in the, I can't remember the one at Navan earlier in the season. Where does he go? If it was a very soft ground, I'd give him a shot at the Gold Cup. I really would, because I think he's just an improving horse. We don't know how good he is. you know, he will have done as much as a few of those horses came into the race last year, wouldn't he? He's won a top handicap. He's won a grade two. Do I think he'll win a Gold Cup? I'm not sure he'll stay well enough myself, but I think soft ground's quite crucial to him. I wouldn't be adverse to seeing him run in the Grand National, to be honest. I know he's got an entry in that.
That's interesting.
Whether they'll think it's a year too soon for him, I don't know, but they'll probably never get a chance again, you know, off the weight he's currently at. He's also got the Ryanair option, hasn't he? But the same stable have got Aploutard. So whether Aploutard, you know, will probably depend where he goes to see where Chris's Dream goes. But I like him. I personally would probably not go to Cheltenham with him. I'd probably try and win one of those grade ones at Punchestown or something, and then, or look at the Irish National or the English National, something like that was where I'd go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not necessarily sure he's a Cheltenham horse, but hey, you might as well give it a go. That gives us an opportunity as well to talk about Silos Emery, who threw his hat into the ring for the Champion Hurdle. I mean, any horse on four legs can compete in the Champion Hurdle at the minute, but what do you think of his claims, Tom?
Yeah, why not? Definitely got chance, hasn't he? I mean, he's not a brilliant jump hurdler. He's not a great hurdler, and he's not a great jumper of fences either, as we saw when he fell over at the first in the Arkle trial the other day, did we? But he's got plenty of class, hasn't he? And it's Willie Mullins. It'll be Willie Mullins. It'll probably be Paul Townend. He's got no Cheltenham form. I think, where did he run? He ran in the Supreme, did he, a couple of years ago?
When the Bakes Supreme,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, that's right. He wears a hood, he's a bit keen, but I think the race will be run to suit him. So yes, I would definitely run him in the Champion Hurdle, and yes, he does definitely must have a chance.
Okay, more Champion Hurdle chat from Stuart Bowie. He says, is this the poorest Champion Hurdle ever? There's another part to this question, but we'll deal with that first. Tom, I mean, you know more about this than me. What bad Champion Hurdles have you seen?
I've seen some, but it's easy to say now, isn't it? If Epatante wins, or whatever she's called, and then wins two more, we won't be saying it's the bad Champion Hurdle. I mean, look, you could look back at Bouverdere beating Mellon by a neck and say that was a terrible Champion Hurdle, couldn't you? And Bouverdere's won a couple and no one would say that now. I don't know. I mean, as we stand, yes, it is a bad Champion Hurdle because nothing has put up a performance of remissant of being a Champion Hurdle horse yet. But that doesn't mean they can't. And so I don't like saying things like that because I think we need to wait and see how the race goes before we actually say it's about, like last year's, everyone was bad, but we had a brilliant winner, didn't we? So, I don't know. It looks bad, but it might not be bad, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Just remind us of your Champion Hurdle hope at this stage.
Oh, it's... Well, the two I've backed are Not So Sleepy and Charger, so they're not looking very good.
Ah.
But you never know. They're going to turn up. They're both going to run. And, you know, people are backing all these horses. People are backing Fuzil Raffles. People are backing all these horses that ran badly last time. So I wouldn't give up hope on anything. I really wouldn't. I think it's wide open. Anything can win.
Okay. And he also says, I'm glad Surname is okay, as are we all. But is he all that? He seemed to have no excuses and he looked well beaten before falling.
Is he
Surname,
all that?
Like, is he all that?
All that. Well, he was all that, but he wasn't all that on Saturday. I mean, he's got... he was all that last year and he was all that when he beat Altior. He's not been the same horse since. I don't know whether he went through the barrier. You know, it's what we say often. We say about these horses that it takes them a long time to overcome hard races. He ran in the King George after that hard race and maybe just feeling the effects of it this season now. I think Paul Nicholls will put him away now and then we'll see what happens next year. On what he showed on Saturday, he's definitely not all that. But before that, he was all that.
So you wouldn't give up on him?
Definitely not. No, he's far too good. He's got far too much talent, but he was never travelling with the gusto that I thought he was at any stage. Like, he couldn't get away from them and there's no way he couldn't get away from
that
anything.
That wasn't his running,
was
it?
I didn't think so.
He's always been a bit of a funny horse winning around Ascot and they don't think he wants to go left-handed, but he's talented, isn't he? So maybe keep the faith.
Well, he doesn't win enough. He doesn't win that often, does he? For a horse that's the highest rated horse in training, I think, what is he, 7 from 19 or something? He's not won even half his races. So it's quite hard to love him as the best horse.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to put him in the same breath as Altior because he hasn't, but on his day, he's put up two or three performances. When he beat Waiting Patiently 17 lengths last year, he was amazing, wasn't he? And when he won that handicap by 21 lengths off top weight, he was amazing, you know. And so he's put up two or three performances that entitle him for everyone to say he's all that. But on Saturday, he weren't all that.
Mm, indeed. And maybe he's one of those horses who just puts an awful lot into his races
could
and
be.
Then that, could, that you know,
could
needs
be.
A bit of time. Okay, before we leave you, Tom, just remind us what you're up to this week. You've got a couple of Pricewise specials.
Yeah, doing a couple of anti-post Pricewises, Triumph Hurdle for Wednesday's paper, and then the Albert Bartlett. First time ever we've done the Albert Bartlett. And we'll have a look at that for Thursday and see what we can come up with.
Excellent. So keep your eye out for those. I'll be back on Friday, as I said earlier in this show, to look in more detail at the weekend's cards with the tipping panel. We'll see you then. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ BGambleAware.org.